Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
I'm going to say the same thing to Teddy Cahill that I said to him in the conversation a year ago. I remember what I said. Teddy, it sucks when state's no good in baseball because I don't ever get to talk to you. I talked to you one time last year. It was before the season. So let's see if we can't turn things around. Teddy Cahill, Baseball America, man. Thanks for joining me today. How are you doing?
Absolutely. Hopefully we can get something better this season because, I went to Starkville opening weekend, and that was about the last time I really
like
got to do
never
anything
there.
Mississippi State-wise.
Let's start in the SEC. Four straight national champions from the SEC, four different teams, two first-time champs in there, obviously. If I told you there's going to be another SEC champion this year, but it's another first-time champ, who would it be?
Oh, that's a tough one. So first-time champs, obviously we're eliminating now, Florida and LSU.
Half the conference.
Yeah, Vanderbilt's gone. I guess I got to say Arkansas as, they're a top five team that, surprisingly is still waiting for that trophy. So I would say them. I think that there are some other options, but I do think what Arkansas has on the mound, I really, really like the rotation potential with Hagan Smith at the front and then Mason Molina coming in from Texas Tech. Brady Tigert, in a postseason environment, like those three guys could be a real problem for any opponent, no matter who we're talking about across the country. And then I trust the lineup's new, but I trust Dave Van Horn and Nate Thompson to figure out the lineup. They do it from year to year anyway, so that doesn't scare me too much.
LSU, defending national champion, I assume they will not take the same path as State and Ole Miss and finish last in the SEC the following season. But they're going to fall back a little bit. They lost the top two picks in the draft, the best pitcher and the best hitter in the SEC last year. How much does LSU fall back, or are they still right there as a national title contender?
Yeah, for me, they're right there. It's a different team, though. And so one of the things that I have, especially the last 2 years, watching what happened in the Magnolia State that has made me think a lot about is, what does leadership mean? What a program greats, like a Tanner Allen, like a Tim Elko, like what do they bring that, is hard to quantify from the outside, hard to see from the outside. And, so LSU lost those guys in Cruz and Skeens and even a Cade Beloso, what those guys brought on the field, numbers wise, is incredible. Obviously, like Cruz and Skeens were the first two picks in the draft, and one of them won Player of the Year, and one of them won Golden Spikes for a reason. But also, just what they bring off the field, I don't want to understate how difficult it can be to replace that as well. So that's honestly my biggest concern for LSU. I think the talent on the field is great. It's differently distributed. You don't have two absolute superstars fronting the lineup and the rotation. But I think that the depth is really impressive. I think that Tommy White, can be one of the best hitters in the country. And, LSU last year got tagged a lot of times as being very Paul Skeens dependent on the mound. And while that was never as fair as, some people, as often as some people brought it up, I do think the depth is better on the mound. They don't have the best pitcher in the country, but I think the depth is better on the mound, and that should help them.
Skeens was no doubt the best pitcher in the SEC a season ago. Cruz was probably the best hitter, but he had some competition. Those guys are gone. Who's the top pitcher and the top hitter in the conference for you this year?
I'll take Tommy White as the top hitter. I think what he does, what he has done consistently over 2 years of college has been incredible. He has a chance to break Matt Laporta's 21st century career home run record. Laporta took 4 years to hit more than 70 home runs, and Tommy White is, if he just does what he's done the last 2 years, he'll break that record in 3 years. So that's really impressive, and just the way he is, the completeness of a hitter, I'm really impressed by. You can take Cags in either of these categories, I suppose. Yeah. Like Jack Caglione has to be mentioned here. It's easy to forget about him, and because he is both. And he has as good of a stuff as anyone on the mound. You don't have left-handers throwing 100. And then also he hit 33 home runs last year. So he fits in somewhere here. And then I mentioned Hagen Smith when I was talking about Arkansas, and like that was the other guy in the first team, all SEC starting pitcher. It was Skeens and Smith last year. And Smith is he's had some control issues over the course of his career, but I really think he has the biggest upside of any of the pitchers in the conference.
Let's turn it to our attention to Mississippi State. The biggest news of the offseason for the Bulldogs was bringing in Justin Parker from South Carolina. South Carolina was a good team last year, and Parker had a good setup there. I've asked Lemonis, I've asked Parker, now I'll ask you. You know, were you surprised that he took a job where – I mean, Lemonis is on a hot seat. He can't have a third poor season, I think, and keep his job. Were you surprised he wanted to leave South Carolina for Mississippi State?
You know, anytime you see somebody go interconference, there's a little bit of a surprise there, right? Because, the SEC is so competitive and everything like that. And then you add in the hot seat component in Starkville. But I do think there's a fair amount of upside. Like, I understand why somebody would want that job. There's a fair amount of upside. If you come in and you do well, first of all, everybody loves you. And then, there's just so much, to be gained at Mississippi State right now. There's a lot of talent on that team. There's a lot of talent in South Carolina, too, for sure. But, I can understand where it would be coming from. I also understand from the outside, and I don't know if I would make a move like that, but there's a fair amount of risk in just in what this season could be for Mississippi State as well.
State's pitching last year was atrocious. The word I've used more than once is systemic. That it wasn't just one guy who struggled. Everybody struggled, and they all seemed to have the same problems of command, of throwing strikes, of competing in at bats. When you watched State last year and you saw how they struggled on the mound, are those problems fixable in one off season?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest question here. And how much of it is something that can be coached out? How much of it is something that was a player issue? Were they bringing in the right players, and do they have the wherewithal to make the corrections that those players need? I mean, like when you talk about recruiting, you want to get the best players you can get, but you also have to kind of understand what you as a coaching staff can help them with. That, if you're great at bringing out power, you can take a player that needs to learn how to develop that. But if you're not good at developing power as a coaching staff, you have to find the guys with it already. So where do Justin Parker's strengths as a pitching coach, where do they line up with the weaknesses of the pitching staff he inherited? And that's tough to evaluate. I would say, though, that I think that they can definitely make strides, in part because there is a lot of room to grow from where they were last year, obviously. And then there was also just
that was
a lot
the
of
kindest way you could have put it.
There was also a lot of youthfulness last year.
Yeah.
If you throw a lot of freshmen and they get some experience, and then they see what they have to work on. Like, one of the biggest jumps in development can happen between freshman and sophomore years. So now, having seen exactly what they need to work on because their flaws got exposed as they pitched so much in the SEC last year, if you can get the freshmen, now sophomores, better, like, I do think that there's a fair amount of potential to get a jump just from that age and experience factor.
A couple minutes ago, you talked about some of the best hitters in the SEC. Where do you rank Hunter Hines and Dakota Jordan in that group?
I mean, I think you got to rank him pretty high. Like, the what Dakota Jordan can do is really impressive. I mean, he was voted a preseason All-American for us, and the way we do preseason All-Americans is we outsource it. We ask the Major League scouting directors to vote. So to make it in the outfield is pretty difficult. That means you're one of the nine. He was a third teamer, but that means he was one of the nine best outfielders in the country, according to MLB scouting directors. So like, that tells you a little something about the tools and the upside there. What he did last season, hitting 10 home runs, hitting 300. Like, I mean, that's some loud stuff. And then Hunter Hines is, the career numbers, I just think he's been in the mix for the lineup, been at the heart of everything for the last 2 years. So I really like that pairing. I think they have they have what you want out of the heart of an order in an SEC lineup.
I think you and I can both agree that if Mississippi State's not in the postseason this year, and I mean the NCAA tournament, not just getting to Hoover, that, you know, when I have you back on in May, we might be talking about a coaching search. So where does this team stack up in this SEC season? Are they going to be back in postseason play? Does Lemonis continue on here at Mississippi State? Or is it going to be another down year for the Bulldogs?
You know, in my SEC preview, I have them last in the SEC West again. And so that would be a out of the postseason scenario. And part of that is just there is so much talent in the SEC West. I find it, it's just hard to move up. For you to move up, somebody's got to move down. And we're talking about them needing to get like five or six more SEC wins than they did a year ago to get into that regional discussion. And so that becomes difficult to do. That doesn't mean they can't do it. I think that the way that happens is the pitching staff is a lot better, obviously. I think that last year was a younger team, like not just on the mound, they had a lot of youth in it. And inexperience. I mean, even some of the older guys were new to the SEC. You get punched in the SEC a lot and you got to learn how to get back up. And I guess they have to show that they learned how to do that part of it. I think it's there for them. It wouldn't surprise me if it happened, but as I have to sit here and make predictions, it's hard for me to look around the SEC West and say, well, Mississippi State is better than this team or that team. And, you know, they've got to be better than probably more than just one. Like sixth place in the SEC West probably still is not going to be good enough.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that one. So, well, Teddy, I hope this isn't the last time I talk to you over the next few months as we get closer to college baseball season. Where will you be opening weekend this year?
I'm going to Florida. I'll be bouncing around a little bit. Going to be in Tallahassee. Going to be in Tampa, and we'll see some baseball down in Florida.
Sounds good, Teddy Cahill from Baseball America. Man, appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.